Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the raising of the flag and the national anthem of the United States.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. Last week, history was made in Havana when the U.S. flag was raised over the U.S. Embassy for the first time in 54 years. United States Secretary of State John Kerry was there to represent the U.S., as was a handful of Cuban Americans invited by the State Department to witness history in the making. One of those invited guests was Arturo O'Farrell. And while Jasmine Gardes is away this week, we asked Arturo to come and join us and talk to us about that event, music, and Cuba. Arturo, welcome.
Felix, I'm so happy to be here today. You don't have any idea. I mean, lots of 26 hours in Havana. Pretty crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we want to hear all about it. By way of introduction to our audience, Arturo O'Farrell is many things, a pianist, composer, band leader of the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. And over the course of several albums, he and the orchestra has explored the musical connection between the U.S. and Cuba. The Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra has a new album out called Cuba. The conversation continues. It was recorded in Havana in December of 2015. And Arturo, there was quite a historic announcement made just before you guys went into the studio, correct?
Yeah. We were actually rehearsing with Malpaso, a beautiful dance company that we've performed with a lot and that I work with a lot, in a synagogue in Old Havana. And that's where they practice. That's where they rehearse. And everybody was rushing to the TV. And I kind of knew something was up because we'd been at the intersection the night before. But anyway, a bunch of folks rushed over to the TV, and I watched with awe, really, as President Raul Castro came on and spoke of the announcement that was normalizing relations, and that President Obama and he had been in contact, and that President Obama would soon be making an announcement. It was pretty unbelievable. And quite amazing to be in a room full of Cubans when that moment happened, because they were ecstatic. A lot of kissing, a lot of hugging, a lot of joy. And of course, I had to, you know, be strong because I had a band and producers and an entourage, and so I didn't quietly steal away for several hours. But when I got to a corner by myself, you better believe the tears came out, bro.
How did that, all of that excitement and all that emotion, what effect did it have on the music you guys recorded?
You know, I'm a firm believer in spiritualism. And I think that events and vibes and history and happiness and sadness and all that makes its way onto the tape. It's very difficult sometimes to capture it. But when it's strong, it's very powerful. And I feel like every single note on that album has the spirit of joy, elation, and history. There's an electricity in the air that was during the recording was brutal, man. 3 days. It was brutal. And very, very, very long days. I mean, we started at 10, 11 in the morning and left at midnight.
Wow.
But the power of that moment and the huge emotion and spiritual power of that moment made its way onto every single note, and the energy was electrifying.
Then let's hear some of that. I want to start with the track Guajira Simple. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about it, and we'll play the track.
Alexis Bosch is an amazing composer, and I asked him to contribute his thoughts on where Cuban and jazz music intersected, and so he turned in this beautiful guajira. He's also, by the way, an incredible pianist, and not in the typical tradition of very hyper-virtuosic Cuban pianism. He's a pianist of real elegance and taste and distinction. I don't give up the piano chair easily, dude. But I said, man, I can't play this. And Alexis is such a wonderful musician and pianist that I had to move on over and just conduct.
Well, let's hear this track, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about your family history to Cuba. This is Guajira Simple. So this is him playing at the beginning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's amazing because the tendency in Cuban piano players is to really err on the side of excessiveness. And I just, this guy is really clearly raised on Bill Evans.
Guajira in three.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it's funny because the guajira is for me, the blues of Cuba and the blues of Latin music. And it's a very bluesy piece. And the standout solo, I think, of the record is on this piece by Ivan Renta. And it's just, you know, the blues are the story of life. And when you hear that blues interpreted by a Latino or someone who's aware of our culture, it's a beautiful connection.
And speaking of connection, let's talk a little bit about your connection to Cuba. Tell us the story of your father, Chico O'Farrell, the legendary Afro-Cuban arranger and composer, and his connection to the island.
My father was born in Cuba, in Havana, and his family was in Havana for about 200 years before that. And he, of course, absorbed the incredible music of Cuba in his upbringing. But he was fascinated by jazz, and so he moved to the United States, and he never got to return to Cuba, and became, of course, a very beloved composer in Afro-Cuban and in jazz, having contributed 11 albums for Count Basie. I mean, this was a clearly multilingual musician, and you know, brokenhearted because, and in fact, towards the end of his life, the only thing that could really make him cry was not being able to return to his beloved homeland. And so when I was invited by Chucho to play at the 2002 Plaza Jazz Festival, and I landed on that earth, that tierra, I was in tears, man, again, because I felt that I was completing a journey for my father.
When did your father pass?
He passed in 2001, at the age of 79. But you know, it's funny because I... when I was there just recently, I could feel his presence. It's crazy talk, I know, but I felt somehow that he was beaming and that there was much, joy or satisfaction, just a sense of connection that he was reconnecting through us, through me, through this event, and that there was a kind of remarkable peace and stillness inside myself.
You know, in the interest of full disclosure, I think I got to let our audience know that you and I have known each other probably since about 2004, when you played on an album by a band I was playing with at the time. And since then, you and I have had many, many conversations about music, about culture, about what's happening in the world. And one thing that's always struck me is that you have a very, very keen sense of history. And I really enjoyed what you posted on Facebook with pictures from the event over the weekend. And I want to read it because it really touched me, and I think it reflects really who you are. You said, "I am truly grateful to have seen this day. My pleasure at seeing human folly seemingly turned in the opposite direction is beyond words. The conversation continues in Cuba, but the implications are global. Thank you, President Obama. Thank you, President Castro. We live in scary times on a scary planet, but for the briefest of moments, I saw the possibility and not to defeat. And not the defeat. Now on to that embargo." That was so classic Arturo.
Yeah, it's pretty classic Arturo stuff. Pontificating a little.
But it touches on everything, though, because there are lots of implications in this move. There's musical implications, economic, political. And what I wanted to do is steer the direction right now toward the musical. And talk about your dad and ask you if he ever talked to you about what it was like to create some of that music in the 40s and the 50s, some of those first significant efforts at combining Afro-Cuban music and jazz.
I watched him sit at the drafting table and bent over manuscript paper with a pencil in hand. And I didn't know what he was doing. I mean, I wasn't a composer until I was in my 30s. But the idea of composition is including your heart, your soul, your intellect, and your passions onto a piece of paper. And that was something that I think, without talking directly about his process, he left me with, and hopefully all of us.
Your father's definitely part of that continuum of what you talk about. The conversation continues. It started long before him. He was part of that. It continues with you. I want to play something your dad arranged. This is from 1954. It's part of the Manteca suite that Dizzy Gillespie recorded on an album he called Afro. This is the main composition, the Manteca theme. Again, this is Dizzy Gillespie, Manteca theme, arranged by Chico O'Farrell. Thank you.
You want to hear something really funny?
Yeah.
As we were listening to this, I could feel my father by my side saying, "See, you always play that too fast. The tempo's really different on the record than when I play." what an amazing, and what amazing, Dizzy sounds incredible.
Oh,
as always.
My God.
I can't believe how much trumpet he played. It's kind of like frightening.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, it's heavy on so many counts, performing instrumental wise. I mean, the level of musicianship on that record's ridiculous, and the composing is the arranging. It's an amazing. It's a high bar.
And speaking of high bar, you meet the challenge, man, with the new
wow.
record. You do. You meet the challenge on your stuff in general, because you've been working with the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. Tell me a little bit about the band. How long has it been together, and what are the things that you guys have been doing?
We created the orchestra in 2002 and have done many great things. I think the best thing I try to do is just maintain an Afro-Latin big band in this era where things are so expensive and downsizing is so much the norm. We were graciously given our beginning home at Jazz at Lincoln Center and left in 2007 to create our own institution, the Afro-Latin Jazz Alliance. And we do education, we do preservation, we do performance, we do incredible varied works. We have a pre-professional training orchestra, we have residencies in schools, we tour, we record, we do all kinds of great things. Dizzy Gillespie and Chana Poser began a discussion that was abruptly interrupted by ideology, revolution, death, all the terrible things that happened. It's time to take that conversation up again. I think the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra was my way of entering the conversation. What is jazz? What is American music? What is Pan-American music?
Let's hear another track from the album. And one of the ones that stands out to me is the track by Cuban-American composer and pianist Michelle Rosewoman, Alabanza.
Alabanza was a request that I made of Michelle, who graciously entered into the conversation, because I feel that Michelle's an incredibly interesting voice for us. She's extremely knowledgeable about the Yoruban rhythms, and she's also an extraordinary jazz musician. And so she stands on the precipice of both worlds in a way that very few people can. And so I asked her to contribute a work, and I gave all the musicians, all the composers, all the instrumentalists the same vision. Dizzy Gillespie and Chana were still somewhere on some cloud having the same conversation that began in 1947. What is this music? I think the music of the future is closer aligned to both origins, and I think she really got that vision and returned in a piece that is incredibly beautiful and complex and very spiritual. Thank you.
Let's go back to a comment that you made on Facebook, and something that's on everyone's mind as you talk about Cuba and the United States, the potential to end the embargo, because while the governments have recognized each other officially and opened embassies here in D.C. and in Havana, there's still, like you said, that issue of the embargo. If and when that happens, and it most likely will, what do you think that will do to the cultural connection between the two countries?
Well, I think a lot of people have raised that issue, and I think a lot of people are afraid of what will happen to Cuban culture when there is an end to the embargo and there's really free interaction on a commercial level. I think I've spoken about this with many Cubans, and the predominant opinion is that, no, we're not going to bend over and build Burger Kings in Old Havana. We're not going to allow our pride and our culture and our beautiful love of history to be bulldozed by corporate America. I think that that's right. I think President Obama and President Castro saw this, and I thought they understood that differences have to be respected. I've heard this a lot from both sides. I've heard that rhetoric a lot. I mean, I've heard a lot of rhetoric, but I think the implied message is that the embargo needs to be lifted without fear, because it won't destroy either side. I mean, it's certainly not going to hurt us. We've been hurting them for 50 years, you know, 50 plus years. So I think that the embargo is not going to undermine that love, that culture, that love of culture, that love of history, that love of strength and resilience. I think it will only provide an escape to a lot of poverty, and that perhaps some Cubans will get to eat a little better and get to wear better clothing and take better care of their homes.
Let's talk about the music, because I think the general perception is that because there's been an economic and political blockade and an isolation, that people think that, oh, well, the Cuban music is been like in this vacuum, and it's all, you know, it's with all respect to them, sort of like the Buena Vista Social Club. But, you know, since I've been interested in the music, you can always find the music here in the United States, even contemporary stuff, going back to when the label Cuba Disc was operating out of Europe and we were getting it here in the United States. I mean, it seems to me that the U.S. influence in Cuban music has never stopped.
Not at all. When I first went in 2002, I was, quite surprised at what the young musicians were listening to. They were listening to, I mean, whatever great and new music was coming out of the United States, especially on the jazz tip. They were there. They were hip to Greg Ausby, and they were hip to things. And how they got it, I don't know, because in 2002, they were just, they're really hungry. They're curious. They'll take a link or a CD, and they'll replicate it 8,463 million times. The other thing we do is we don't realize that Cubans do not live in a vacuum at all. They're part of Latin America. This is a big misconception. They're part of the Pan-American summits. They're part of the real issues that face all of Latin America. They have a whole vibrant and extraordinary sense of the world.
And that sense of the world was also reflected on the album. So let's hear another track from your new album. I'm going to let you choose this one. Which one should we hear next?
Well, you know I'm going to choose my track.
That's what I was hoping for.
I don't know which one of the movements you want to play, but I'm very happy and very proud of a work that I wrote for the album called The Afro-Latin Jazz Suite. And I think maybe All of the Americas is a good one. It is precisely that aspect of Cuban awareness that I love. I love going down there because I get to hear about what's going on in Peru. And I get to hear about in politics in Venezuela and the awareness of Latinos and Latino culture and the larger sense of the Americas is so prevalent there. And this piece of music, All of the Americas, is my vision for the future of Afro-Cuban and Latin and jazz in general, because it takes into account the fact that jazz is an Afro-folkloric inheritance. And that Afro-folkloricism really didn't just take place in New Orleans. It took place throughout the Americas, and I'm trying to show that with this piece of music. We'll be right back.
Okay, Arturo, now we're going to move away from your album, and since you have been to Cuba quite a bit recently, let's dip our toes into music that's from Cuba that is beyond jazz and beyond what we've been talking about, and that reflect the influences of hip-hop, R&B, maybe even a little bit of rock. So what we're going to do is I brought in a handful of tracks to play for you, and I just want to get you to reflect on them. And I know some of the artists you've already heard before, so we're going to start with one of my current favorites. A vocalist by the name of Daimé Arocena, and this is her track, Madres.
See that little phrasing right there?
Yeah.
That's blues phrasing.
Yeah.
That's Cubans don't naturally do that. But the way she paused and the way she slid into that phrase, that's almost Delta blues, man.
And she's
but farther south.
No, she strikes me as like a perfect combination between Aretha Franklin and Celia Cruz.
Dude, that is so beautiful. I'm sorry, man. That is so beautiful. The singing is so otherworldly, and it is deeply, profoundly soulful. I mean, you're right on that tip, man. There's a just an incredible respect for the Afro-Cuban tradition she comes from, but it's refracted through a real soul prism, and she has, my God, does she have the pipes, if you will? She's got she has the goods to hear to sing what she hears inside.
Yeah.
Eric Doodle. We're going to move on, and we're going to do this sort of like speed dating. We're going to listen a bit. We're going to get your comments, and then we're going to move on to the next track. So right now, I have another favorite. This is Danai Suarez, very, very powerful performer that I've seen a couple of times here in the United States. She only has one album out here in the U.S. It's called Polvo de la Humedad, and this track is called Lágrimas de Soledad.
Quiso sentir lo único en su vida, lo más importante, la modelo preferida de la alfombra de su corazón, su más grande canción y en el amor la principiante, que puso un anillo en su dedo y su alma en su colchón, te hizo sentir la más inteligente, la más decente, te garantizó fidelidad por siempre, te hizo mirar al frente sin miedo a la gente, te hizo una mujer segura, grande, fuerte y llena de esperanza, pero cuando la confianza se pierde, no solo se pierde, la confianza lo más grande se pierde cuando las mentiras te duermen. No existen palabras que te vuelvan a hacer fuerte.
Obviously more the hip hop influence on this artist, although when I've seen her perform, she does this combination of including her flow in a way that she does this like almost like Afro-Cuban Santeria dance style with her skirts, you know. It's just this magic mix of the two cultures that just is so natural.
It's funny, I'm reading a book called Secular Devotion. I don't know if you know this book. I think I told you about it. But anyway, it's about how so much of our contemporary American culture comes from religious Afro folkloricism. And the author makes a really beautiful point that hip-hop and jazz and reggaeton and soul and so much of the music that we love really has at its roots Afro-religious musical practice.
Confianza lo más grande se pierde cuando las mentiras te duermen. No existen palabras que te vuelvan a hacer fuerte cuando la confianza se pierde. No solo se pierde la confianza, lo más grande se pierde cuando las mentiras te duermen. No existen palabras que te vuelvan a hacer fuerte.
Okay, let's continue our American bandstand.
That's bad. Okay, that one I got to get too. Okay, you know what? This is the Felix Contreras school of music for which I am woefully unprepared, but I'm a dutiful student.
We're going to move on with another song by a duo of girls. This is these two sisters, these twins. They're from Paris. Their dad was Anga Diaz, the great Afro-Cuban percussionist.
Of course.
And they have this amazing group out called Ibeyi, which means twins in Yoruba. And it's a group we've played a lot here on NPR Music and on Alt Latino because we're such big fans, and you'll see why. Check this out.
Even if I feel the sun on my skin, if I don't feel you, even if I see the most beautiful things up in the sky, if I don't see you, take me away. Take me.
What I really dig about that track is the way they bring in that Santeria, the bata beat,
what's interesting, I think it's also the aesthetic. The aesthetic is so unbelievably crystallized. The approach is so kind of singular. It's very, it's a corny word, but it's very modern.
Right.
And it's very experimental, and it reminds me of so much experimental avant-garde vocal techniques. But it is, it's grounded in that baton rhythm.
Arturo Ferro, thank you so much for bringing your insight and your experiences this past week in Cuba to witness the opening of the U.S. Embassy, but also to share with us your insight into the music and your thoughts on this new music coming out of Cuba. Thanks, man. Come back anytime so we can talk more music.
Felix, thank you for having me, man. It's always a privilege, really.
You have a choice for a cut from your new album that you want to end the show with?
Yeah, I love the cut that... Oh, man, this sounds so awful, but I wrote this as well. I love vaca frita. I love vaca frita.
It's a cool tune.
Yeah, it's a cool tune. It's just fun, and it's frivolous, and it, you know, I'm a jazz musician. I'm an Afro-Cuban jazz musician, but I'm also, you know, a human being. And I love boogaloo, and I love mambo, and I love obatala, and I love... turntable, DJ Logic. The great thing about this track also is that two of my heroes play on this track, my sons, Zachary and Adam. Zachary's
awesome.
Playing the drums on this, and Adam is tearing it up on the trumpet. And it's just, there's a lot of love in this track. I hope that it brightens somebody's day.
Let's see, Arturo, where can we find you on Facebook and Twitter?
Facebook, Afro Latin Jazz, Afro Latin Jazz Alliance. I do Twitter, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But it's connected. It's all connected to my... I know where it's a good place to look. Start to begin the search is at afrolatinjazz.org, which is providing a link to all of the different things I do. And also arturoferral.com. That's where you'll find a lot of links to the craziness of my life.
We want to remind listeners that you can hear every track that we've played on the show today in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. And remember, the new album is called Cuba. The Conversation Continues. It's by Arturo Ofero and the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. It is a featured album on our first listen feature here on NPR Music. Thank you again, Arturo, for joining us.
Thank you, Felix. Thank you, sir.
And hope we can hang out again real soon.
We have to.